Oh man, what would Christmas be like without light? I mean, what if you woke up on Christmas morning and you went to turn the lights on the tree and they didn't work? Or what happens when everyone has this experience? You go to set up the lights and the lights don't work. Usually that's when the frustration and the anger and everything else sets in. You know, what happens if you pack the entire family and you go to Perrysburg or Toledo and go to the Toledo Zoo to see the Christmas lights, and you show up and the people say in the park, oh, the lights don't work today, but you can walk around the zoo in the dark if you'd like. That wouldn't quite be the same Christmas experience, would it? You know, light is a part of Christmas. We celebrate the light at Christmas, and that's why we illuminate the interior of our house and decorate it with extra lights, and that's why we illuminate the exterior of our house, like Clark was trying to do, with Christmas lights. We put lights on our trees. I've seen people put lights on their dogs. I've seen people wear lights and with these sweaters that light up. They carry battery packs in their pocket or something. Have you seen these sweaters that light up? I mean, we love light at Christmas time. And maybe for you, some of the tradition is to go to the zoo and to see the holiday lights. For me, when I was a kid in Dayton, it was called Ludlow Falls, and it was in Tipp City, just north of Dayton, and it was this natural, this water place where the waterfalls came down into the water, and there was just this gorge, and they decorated it with thousands and thousands of imported Italian twinkle lights, and except for they did it right, unlike Clark did. And they also had a manger scene there, and the Star of David was illuminated over it, and it was just this reminder to me, this amazing scene to me, that Christmas had started, that this is the Christmas season, that this is what it's all about, is that it's not just about the light, but the light is a reminder of the light that came to save the world, a light that came into the dark world and to reveal to us hope, to reveal to us a new path, and to reveal to us life. And that light is Jesus Christ. I mean, what is it that's so attractive to us about light? Maybe it's what light does to darkness. Have you ever not seen light win over the darkness, where the darkness actually overtook it? Every time you turn the light on, unless your bulb is burnt out, that light wins over the darkness, and it illuminates everything in the room. It allows you to see more clearly. Maybe those are reasons that we love the light so much. Or maybe it's the sheer beauty of it. Or maybe it's how it draws our eyes and captures our focus. All of those things, all of those attributes of light is exactly why the Bible uses that to describe who Jesus is. And that's what we're going to talk about this month and this Christmas season. First of all, we need to be reminded that the greatest source of light the world has ever known has been gifted to us in none other than Jesus Christ Himself, and that Jesus is the light of life. Jesus is the light of life. That's a great truth. That's a great, great truth. That Jesus is the light that brings you, brings me, brings this world life. And I can't think of a better metaphor to describe the nature and the power and the purposes of Christ here on earth. When you say that Jesus is the light, it gives us in all kinds of expectations and images on exactly who He is and what He expects to do and wants to do while He's here. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 1, here's the Christmas account according to this author. Here's what he says. In Christ was life. And that life was the light of men and women. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. That's interesting, isn't it? The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. We're going to come back to that in a little bit. There came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. Which John was this? This was John the Baptist, absolutely. He came as a witness to that light, but he wasn't the light. Some people thought that he was the light, but he only came as a witness to the light so that through him, all men and women might believe. Isn't that interesting? Christ's light shone in John's life so that he could shine in their life to find Jesus. So Christ's light was shining through John to other people to help him draw them to Christ. Christ, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man and woman was coming into the world. Here's the great reminder that we need to hear each and every year. We are reminded that Christmas is about the day that God got personal. You see, God didn't remain up in His kingdom of heaven. He didn't sit behind the safety of His high walls. He didn't send out His lieutenants, and He didn't send out armies to come down into this darkened world to bring a Savior and to bring salvation. He came Himself. He got His hands dirty, and He sent us His Son Jesus in the form of a baby, who lived a life here on earth and eventually died on the cross for our sins. And because of that, we have a God who is willing to enter into darkened times, to bring a light into a dark world, to enter into the dangers of this world. And He got His hands dirty in the process. He gave us Jesus.
And Jesus, make no mistake about it, came as a light to open our eyes to the truth. To open our eyes to the truth of the love of God. You see, Jesus was God, but also an ambassador of His own very own love for you and for me. And ultimately, He came to provide rescue for us, to save us from sin and death. And so here are some attributes of light that John highlights that will help us understand exactly what Jesus is doing in this moment and in this process and why we celebrate Christmas. First of all, everyone would agree that light brings us life. So does Jesus. Think about it. Without the sun, there would be no crops. Without the sun, there'd be no grass. There'd be no vegetation. Without the sun, there'd be no animals. Without the sun, there'd be no you and there'd be no me. That's what makes Earth, Earth, is the sun. We get power and energy and resources and the ability to live and to sustain life on this Earth for one basic reason. And that is because of the rays of the sun and the sunlight that shines on us. And the same way with an Earth without a sun is the same thing with you and with me without the sun. You see, without Him, without Christ, our human hearts would wither and decay and harden, and we would be lifeless. We would not have life. We probably would physically, literally, possibly die here on this earth without sun, and our hearts would die in the same way without Christ. And our hearts would be moved to the darkness. We'd be stealing and hurting and destroying, and we'd be living into those darkened moments. But you see, the sun and the light bring us life. You know, light also gives us sight. Now, this is pretty simple stuff, but we're trying to remind ourselves of what Jesus came to do for you and came to do for me and for all of us. You see, just as light gives us sight, in a darkened world, Jesus came to give us sight as well. You see, the light helps us navigate the challenges of daily life. And so does the light of Christ help us navigate the challenges of daily life. I mean, how many of us have had the problem solved when we've been able to turn on the light bulb and to be able to see whatever it was we stumbled over or tripped over, or we've been able to find the object that we were searching for? It was the light that opened our eyes and helped us find our way. Like the headlights of a car points us in the direction that we need to go on darkened roads at night. I mean, think about trying to drive at night without headlights. That's called moonlighting, and none of you try to do that, all right? I know some of you are curious. Don't try to do that. It's dangerous because you need to not only see the good path that you're supposed to take, you also need to see the dangers that are coming. You need to see the ditch on both sides. You need to see if there's a deer coming across the roads. We don't deal with any deer across the roads around here, do we? We need to pay attention to the possum that's in the middle of the road or another person or another car. You see, light allows us to have safe passage and to see clearly the path that's ahead of us. And Jesus does the same thing. He illuminates the clear path of healthy choices for us and also gives us sight to the harmful decisions that we could possibly make that might get us in trouble or bring danger into our lives. Now, the light brings us life, and the light gives us sight. Now, the cool thing about this is the light also gives us something to believe in. Because in darkened times of uncertainty and hardship, light always brings hope. That's why they make statements like, or you've made statements like, or you've heard this statement before, hey, just wait for the light at the end of the tunnel, or look for the light at the end of the tunnel. What does that mean? Well, while you're pining away in dark times, you're dealing with tragedy, or you have this cloud of darkness hovering over you, it brings hope to our hearts to be able to see some glimmer of hope, to be able to see some shining light. And it's that shining light that will deliver us out of the difficulty of the moment, eventually into a more hopeful circumstance and situation. Think about all that light gives us and the hope that it brings. I mean, how many times do you hear stories of people deserted on islands or stuck in the wilderness, and the one thing that brings them hope in life is creating a fire, not only for warmth, but the light that it provides for them? How often do we say in January, February, and March that depression kind of sets in and hope and joy kind of leaves a little bit? Why? Well, because we spend 3 months in the dark, basically, without sunlight. There have been studies that sunlight actually produces and coordinates with the body and brings more hopeful outlooks, brings more joy into our life. Why? Because sun brings life. It gives us sight, and it gives us something to believe in. But there's one more attribute to light that John talks about here. The light is for all people, and that is true for Jesus. Jesus came for everyone. And if you realize this point, that light doesn't discriminate. When you turn the light on in your room, it illuminates everything. It doesn't pick and choose between the bed or the candle over there or the lampstand or the clothes on the floor. The light will show you everything in that room. It doesn't discriminate. In the same way, Jesus can pierce any kind of darkness in our light, and it will illuminate everything in our life and everyone in our life and everything that's going on in our hearts. And Jesus came for you. He came for me. He came for everyone. Jesus doesn't discriminate. and His light will pierce the deepest darkness in your life. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what your life has looked like. Jesus is here for you. He came for you, and His light came for you to help guide you in life. In John, it describes this about Jesus. When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, and Jesus says this about Himself, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the light of the world. He brings us light, but not just any light. He says, "I will bring you. I am the light of life." And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about, to celebrate the light. But not just any old light, not just the light on the trees or on the house, but the light of life, a God who came into darkened times, into a darkened world, to make our darkness into light in Jesus Christ. But we have to be careful. We have to be careful because Christmas can become something entirely different than that for a lot of us and for many people in this world. You see, we have to be aware that Christmas can be both a sedative or a savior. And we have to watch out because there's a subtle difference between the two, but enormous ramifications in our life. We've already talked about the fact that Christmas is all about light. It's all about the light of Christ coming into our life. And like the beautiful lights that we go to see or we decorate our house with that captures our imagination and captures the focus of our eyes, Jesus desires to capture the same focus of our hearts. For us to focus our life on Him so that He can bring the full bearing of His blessings as a Savior into our life. So that He can open our eyes to the possibilities of a new life and a new future. And so ultimately that He can set our hearts on fire and we can be the light of life in our hearts so that God can shine through us to others in a darkened world. That's exactly what He did to John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, "Listen, I'm not the light, I'm not the source, but the source is coming to this world and the source lives in me. And that's what you're seeing and experiencing from me." You see, the light was so strong, he was so lit in his life that other people experienced the hope of salvation and the story of Jesus. In Matthew it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Here's God's plan for you through Jesus Christ. He wants to fill you so much that you're lit. Jesus wants you to get lit this Christmas with His love. He wants you to get lit with His grace. He wants you to get lit with His hope so that not only will it change your life, but so everyone else around you can have theirs changed too so that they can experience the hope and joy. It's kind of like handing your friend and your neighbor a bottle of Coca-Cola and starting to sing together with your hands held across the nation. "I'd like to give the world a Coke." Come on, sing it with me. "In perfect harmony." I don't remember the rest of it. But it's this whole peace, love, and happiness moment, right? The whole point of that commercial is if we could just give everybody a Coca-Cola, then everything would be all better in life. So instead of giving people a Coca-Cola, what if we were the beacons of hope? What if we gave the light of Jesus Christ that not only fills us, but has a chance to fill the world? And what if we join hands in the name of Jesus Christ in love with our neighbors and with our friends and with our family and showed them the light of Christ? Wouldn't that change them? Wouldn't that make a difference? But here's the problem and the struggle that we have. We can get lit, but we can get lit in the wrong ways. You see, we can look at Christmas rather than as an opportunity to receive the Savior, and we can look at Christmas as an opportunity to numb and dull the pain in our life. In John 1:5, it says this, "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." Remember that line we read? That's an interesting statement, an interesting truth. Because today we can understand the truth of this statement because as we look around this world and even in our own hearts and our own experiences, it is easy to misunderstand Christmas. It's easy to lose focus on the light while hanging up the lights. It's easy to lose focus on the light while we're doing all the other activities and experiences that makes Christmas such a memorable time. It's easy to think that it's all about Christmas cards and cookies and purchases and packages and parties and punch and decorations and dinner. And while none of those things are bad inherently, when those become the focus of our experience, we lose focus on the light and the thing that matters. And what's happened for so much of the world in the commercialization of Christmas is that we've created a season of confusion. We've created a season of confusion. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. You see, we treated Christmas as a sedative for pain-filled lives rather than salvation for darkened souls. Think about that for a second. Matthew chapter 5:15 says this, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house." I beg to differ with the writer because I think the majority of us in this world today are the first sentence rather than the second. We do take this light and we do cover it up with the lamp and we do cover it up with the bowl, and we do that with all the stuff and all the commercialization and all the things that Christmas brings into this world and into this life. You see, sadly, the world will gladly use the stuff of Christmas to cover up the light of truth. Jesus said, "I come and I am the way, the truth, and the life." That is the light of Jesus. And so we would gladly cover up the light of truth with all of this stuff because the truth hurts. Because truth sometimes brings pain. And we're afraid that what the light might reveal in us, if we let Jesus in, if we lean into what Christmas is all about, we're afraid of what the light might reveal to us, so we would rather just ignore it. Well, Paul talks about that, and he says, you need to wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men and women's hearts. No wonder this is such a difficult thing. No wonder this is such a difficult thing. We really don't know the depth of our hearts, and we really don't want to know the depths of our hearts from time to time, because we know that we won't like what we see. We don't necessarily want to know the desires that drive our hearts in our lives. We don't really want to know what we're fully thinking and how we're going to react to certain circumstances, and so we cover it over. And you see, when we are in the face of the light, it exposes the darkness within us. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ, He exposes the lost feelings and the feelings of loneliness, and we have to deal with that stuff. And so rather than that, we'll use the holidays as a painkiller for aching hearts. Or we'll use the holidays to drown in our pain and our sorrows, while Christmas becomes a chemical substance to forget our hurts and our habits and our hang-ups. But sisters and brothers, we all know what happens when we leave the dentist office after we have a cavity filled. The Novocaine quickly wears off. And that's the problem. You see, these kind of deflective manners, these kind of chemical substances that we try to use in any regard in life, those highs never really truly last. And we are left more empty in the long run than we were before we even began. And so the world has a solution for that. We'll just make the Novocaine last longer. So not only will we gobble up Thanksgiving and we'll move Christmas into November, we're going to gobble up Halloween and move that into October now. My family has this running game and challenge to see who can be the first person to discover the first Christmas commercial on TV. And I think I found it, and it was the third week of October. The third week of October. I think Lowe's had their holiday display in full bloom in September and early October. I was on Walmart's website in the second week of October, and they had their Christmas page up already. Circular ads were flying all over the internet, and it wasn't even the first week in Thanksgiving. And so you see, what we do, as we do with any addiction, is that enough is never really enough, and so we have to elongate it. You know, if we're stuck on drugs, well, we need more of it the next time. Or if we're stuck on whatever, we need more of it the next time. And so what we do is the world continues to try to elongate the holiday so that we might be able to cover over the difficulties and struggles and have something to look forward to in our life. But you see, Jesus came to save you. He didn't come to sedate you. Jesus came to rescue you from the darkness, not to keep you in it. And He came to reveal the source of pain and struggle in your life. He came to expose the sin in your heart. And He came here so that He could heal your heart, not just put a bandage on a bleeding arm. He wants to come to the source and heal your hearts. And if you use Christmas as a painkiller, the light of Christ won't be able to fulfill its true purpose in your heart. I was taking a pupil activity class about a month ago, which is basically fancy terms for a state requirement for anybody that's going to be working with men or women's basketball in their local schools. I'm going to be working with the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade boys basketball program over at Old Ford Elementary, and it's not just about showing up and helping. You've got to take these classes to make sure that you're certified or qualified. And so there's basically a college trainer that led this class, and he was teaching us about things we might incur as a coach on the basketball court or football field or wherever. And he said, one of the things you don't want to do if you suspect a head trauma, in other words, if a boy or a girl comes off the playing surface and they've hit their heads with somebody and they're complaining of a headache, they said, one of the things you don't want to do is to give them medication for that headache. You don't want to give them aspirin. You don't want to give them Advil or Tylenol or any kind of Sudafed or ibuprofen or whatever. You don't want to do that. And I asked, I was thinking, why not? And he said, because you will mask the possibility of what is really and truly wrong. You will mask whether they have a concussion or maybe there's bleeding on the brain. You see, that drug and that sedative might make them feel good for just a small bit or a small amount of time. But the truth is, you will miss out on what matters the most, and it could cause them to die. It could cause them serious ramifications for the future. And so we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention to how we treat this holiday season in our life. You see, we don't want to dull the pain so much so that we don't let Christ come into our hearts and deal with the real issue. And the gift of pain is that pain is an indicator. That's what this guy was teaching us. Pain is an indicator that will point you to the greater source of your problems, not just the surface issue, so that we can deal with it. And that's exactly what Christ wants to do. It is a painful process to open ourselves to Jesus. In 1 Peter, he says this, and this is how we need to live. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What he's basically saying is don't cover over the pain of life with anything. Especially don't cover over the pain of life with the holiday season and with Christmas. Keep your wits about you. Stay sober. Because when we are sober, we are able to make good and right choices. We're able to connect fully with what God wants to do in our hearts. And so what he says here is the gift of sobriety is that you can fix your hope completely on the grace that will be brought to you because of the light of Jesus. You will be able to fix completely yourself on the work that God wants to do in your heart through Jesus to heal you. But make no mistake about it, Jesus does want us to be under the influence. Jesus does want us to be under the influence. He wants us to have such a focus on the light of Christ that we are all lit up inside. That we are literally all lit up in our hearts. Do you remember the account in the book of Acts? The book of Acts is basically the story of the coming of the Holy Spirit into the life of people, the beginning of the first church. And I want to read a passage to you where it picks up right at this moment where the Holy Spirit has come into those people who have given their lives to Jesus Christ. And here's what it says. The crowd ridiculed them, ridiculed those people who had the Spirit of God in their life, saying, well, they're just drunk, that's all. Then Peter stepped forward. Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. Evidently, he wasn't on Ohio State's campus on a Saturday morning of game day. Because I've been there before, and it starts early there. No, what you see we predict long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Here's what's being said here. When Jesus grabs a hold of your life, when he opens up your heart, and he turns your darkness into light, it will light you up so much so that people will think that you're on something. People will want to know what you're on. People will want to know what you're taking. People will want to know who you visited. People will want to know if you're in love with somebody. I mean, it just changes our whole composition and makeup and our whole stature in life. You see, when someone hurts you, you respond to them with forgiveness, and everybody else around you wants to know what's the deal. When someone makes a mistake and something happens to you because of that mistake, you offer that person grace, and everybody wants to know what you've taken and what you're on. When you're in the middle of a broken relationship and you choose to fight for peace and to reconcile with them and with Christ, people will want to know why you're doing that and what you're on and what you're taking. When you're living in the middle of a bad economy and you still continue to give faithfully and you still continue to look to bless other people's lives and you don't live with fear and worry but you live with hope and joy, people will want to know what's going on in your life. When life gets tragic and you lose a loved one or one of your loved ones is struggling and yet you still have the means of joy and hope in your life, people will see that and they will want to know what you're taking and what you're on, not just because they're concerned for you, because they're going to want something of what you have. They're going to want to know, what is it that you've done? What is it that you've stepped into? What program? What self-help book have you read? What drug are you taking? Okay? We kind of joke around about this, but the truth is, if we live this kind of life with Christ, it will impact other people, and they'll want some of it too. Because when you fix your life on the light of Christ, it will fill you, and it will shine through you into the whole world, and you will be able to bring light into somebody's darkened day. And after all, isn't that what really matters? Isn't it relationships? Isn't it friends? Isn't it family? Isn't it relationships that really matters the most, especially when it comes time to Christmas and the holidays? You see, Jesus came to save you, not to condemn you. Jesus came to turn your darkness into light. and in the process to reveal to you a complete work of transformation in your life, to transform your whole life, to bring healing to your life, to bring complete wholeness. He's not here just to put Band-Aids on a bleeding wound. He's not here to just give you aspirin for a headache. He wants to help you find the hemorrhage. He wants to help you find the concussion. He wants to help you find the bleeding on the brain, because that's the more serious issue in your life and in my life. God wants us to be under the influence. And here's David, who was. He says, "You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light, and because of that, with your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. When I'm living in the light of Jesus Christ, there's nothing that will stand in my way." You see, Jesus is the source for hope and power, not Christmas. I want us to hear this again, okay? The source of hope and power and belief in this world is not Christmas. It's in Jesus, and that's why we celebrate Christmas. Because of who Jesus is, we celebrate Christmas. So what is God revealing in your life this day? Whatever it is, don't let it be covered over with the hoo-ha of Christmas and all the stuff that goes with that. And for some of us, Christmas is a difficult time because we're trying to work with relationships and friendships and family, and nothing turns out the way that it should, and we have these expectations that aren't met. Don't let your heart be pulled into those things. Let Christ's light shine this Christmas season and reveal to you and show you and save you in the process, because His light is the way, His light is the truth, and His light is the light of love. And He has all the power you need. He has all the power that I need for this life. I want to invite our worship team to come forward. And as they do that, here are a couple of action steps for you. And before I jump into these action steps, I am not here to say that decorating trees and, I mean, my goodness, we're going to be decorating the church in about half an hour, 45 minutes here. You know, decorating trees, going out and shopping for your loved ones, putting packages under the tree, going to see the Christmas lights, baking cookies, sending cards. Hey, listen, my family does all those things. But you want to know why we do them? We do them because of Jesus. And so I want to challenge you not to forego those things. Do this year what means something to you. Do this year what is a tradition for you as a family. But do it because of the light of Jesus Christ in your life. And as you do that, first of all, share the Christmas story with your family and maybe visit a light display so that you have a new meaning and understanding of what that light display means. Sit down with your family and go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Three of the four Gospels has a Christmas account. And we've just talked about one of them in the book of John today. And read that with your family. Secondly, ask God to reveal something to you in your life that is new, that you hadn't discovered before, or maybe you knew was there and you didn't want to deal with. And let the light of Christ this Christmas reveal that to you and follow Him wherever He takes you. Thirdly, choose to adopt a Christmas family. Find an opportunity to bring in food or toys to bless somebody's life that's less fortunate than we are. Maybe go caroling and bless somebody's life. Go sing on their doorstep or bring the gift of music into their life. Take an opportunity this Christmas to give, to be generous, because that's what Christmas is about. Christmas is about giving. It's better than to give than to receive, although sometimes it's kind of fun to receive too. But we know what it's about, and we know why God came, and we know why we need Jesus. And so on that note, let's think about those things as we worship with this final song. And we want to invite you to stand while we're doing that. Let's just be honest. This is a really, really cool time of the year for so many of us and for so many people. And for others, it's a difficult time of the year, but it's a great time for us to be reminded of what life is all about and the gift that God sent us in Jesus Christ. So whatever you do with your traditions and your family and your friends, do that. And do that in the vein of understanding the light of Jesus Christ and what He brings into this dark world. If you're in dark times, don't fear, because those won't last, because the light of Jesus will always overcome the darkness. And so as you go this week, I pray that you have a great week. I want to see a showing of hands of those people that are intending to hang around after church today to help with the decorations. Okay. I'm going to say this. We can use some more help. And so those of you who had different plans, I'm going to challenge you to change them and hang out with us. I know my family brought a whole pot of chili. We've got plenty of food. If not, I'll walk over to the store and we'll get more. But what a great opportunity for us to do this together and a great way to start off the holiday season. So I want to challenge you, if you can, to remain. And your kids will have a great opportunity. They'll have fun for hours. Would love to have you stay. Also, prayer is at 6 o'clock tonight. Don't forget that. Go in peace and enjoy God's grace. Have a great week. Amen.